Now, I don't know how many of you have been to the Grand Canyon, but it is a spectacular sight to see. And when I was growing up in Phoenix, we would actually go to the Grand Canyon. And we would drive up through Flagstaff and go up, you know, to the South Rim, and we'd look at the awe and the splendor of the Grand Canyon. As a matter of fact, as a family, we used to go down into the Grand Canyon, hike a mile down into Havasupai, and we'd go to Havasu Falls and watch beautiful Havasu Falls, and then there's Mooney Falls, and you can watch that, and you can swim around in these beautiful, gorgeous pools. I mean, the Grand Canyon is a spectacular sight. And then when I was in college, we actually did this hike where we would go down from the South Rim down to the bottom, Phantom Ranch, and up we went to this one area that people couldn't get into, but one of the guys in our hike worked for the Arizona Park System, so we were able to go into this place. And then we came back down again and came up. I mean, folks, I've been in the Grand Canyon. Oh, and then when I was a sophomore in high school, my mom and I took a 10-day raft trip through the Grand Canyon. So I know the Grand Canyon. It is a great place. It's spectacular. And if you haven't seen the Grand Canyon, you've got to go. It'll fill you with joy. When I graduated and started working for this engineering firm, we had a contract with the National Park Service to do a roadway safety study. And it was at the Grand Canyon, but this time it was at the North Rim of the Grand Canyon. Now, I'd never been to the North Rim of the Grand Canyon before. I'd always been to the South Rim. So we loaded up and we drove and we got in late that night. The next day we went to the North Rim of the Grand Canyon. Oh my. Oh my goodness. It is a sight that you will not believe. It is spectacular. It is stunning. You can walk out to the pier where this edge is, and they've got this railing, and you can look, and it looks like you're standing out in the most beautiful, spectacular, gorgeous sight that God has ever created. Now, folks, the strange thing is, I thought I had seen the Grand Canyon, but the fact is, until I actually went up and crossed over the canyon and looked at it from the north side, I really had no idea the spectacular joy that you could get from seeing the Grand Canyon. Today, we're continuing our sermon series on the bucket list. And today, what I'd like to impress upon you is that there is joy, and then there's deep joy. And joy is like going to the Grand Canyon on the South Rim and seeing the magnificent splendor of the Grand Canyon. And deep joy is like going over to the North Rim and standing there and seeing the spectacular creation that God has created. There's joy and there's deep joy. And it depends on which side of the canyon you're on. To get into that, I'd like to actually look at our gospel lesson this morning. It's about Jesus and the 72. Now, you may not remember this, or you may not have heard it before, but Jesus wasn't just walking around with his disciples. He had other people with him, and he had these things called the 72. The 72 people that followed Jesus around, and then when he was about to go into a town, he would send these 72 into that town, and they were like an advance team. They would say peace to this house, and if there was peace in that house, they would stay, they would eat with these people, and they would share the good news of the kingdom of God. And if they went to that house and they said peace to this house and they weren't friendly to them, then they picked up and they left and they came back to Jesus. It was kind of like, you know, when the president comes into town, or the Pope, you know, who is in town this, you know, not in town, not here. He was in New York, right? And of course, whenever somebody, you know, comes into town, they've got to have this advanced CIA team that goes in and, you know, secures the grounds to make sure everything's okay for the Pope or the President to come in. Well, similar to that is this advanced team of the 72. And they would go in and they would kind of advance Jesus. And the thing is if you read from Luke 10, you'll find out that these guys really were doing some exciting things. They were healing people, healing the sick, healing the lame. They were casting out demons. They were doing all these incredible things, and they were filled with joy to be able to do these things. And they were joy. But see, they were only at the South Rim of the Grand Canyon. I want to turn your attention to Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, where we're going to read the encounter of where these guys come back and they're talking to Jesus. Chapter 10, verse 17. The 72 returned with joy. And they said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." I mean, that's joy, isn't it? To be able to know that God is with you, that nothing can harm you. Cast out demons, heal the sick. Here we're talking about scorpions and snakes. We know all about that living here in Vail. They were filled with joy to be able to do those things. And you and I are the same way. When God has filled our lives and he's working through our lives, we're filled with joy to be able to do those things. We're filled with joy to be able to let God use us to go out into the world and do great things. I don't know what fills you with joy, but every once in a while, I just see things that I say, that's the hand of God. That's a God thing. God's done that for me. One example is my wife, Jennifer. She's not here. Good. She's in the nursery. Ha ha. Okay. We can really talk now, can't we? I think she is God's gift to me. She is amazing how much she and I fit together. And all my weaknesses she overcomes. And all her weaknesses I overcome. If she had any. But I would overcome them if she had any. She's not here. She didn't hear that. It is great to see how God is working in our lives. Another thing is this church. It is amazing to see how this church is doing the work of God. I don't know if you caught this last week. This is just absolutely incredible. Green Valley, Arizona. An 85-year-old legally blind, how many of you heard about this? An 85-year-old legally blind golfer from Southern Arizona made a hole-in-one this week on a par-3 course. Robert Dunham accomplished the feat on the third hole at Tortuga in Green Valley, playing with a group of fellow blind veterans enrolled in a Veterans Affairs healthcare system. Dunham's volunteer assistant lined up the ball, handed him the 9-iron, and he stepped back. Dunham swung through the ball, hit it squarely, and it landed softly on the green, taking one hop before nesting into the bottom of the cup. Dunham's group erupted in a cacophony of cheers and high fives. The World War II's vet's first reaction? "I thought they were kidding me," Dunham said. "I told them, you guys better not be pulling my leg." But see, when I read stories like this, it's like, that's what I feel about this church. You know, not that we're led by 85-year-old blind guys or anything like that. Although it does come, no, I won't go there. But you see, it's amazing how when God wants to do something, he just does it. And it's amazing to me to be a part to see how this congregation is growing and doing things. I got a phone call a couple weeks ago, and they said, you know, we've got some mission planners. We'd like you to come out and evaluate them and see if they would be good for the mission field. I said, well, the only thing that would make them prepared for the mission field is to get them a congregation like this. That's how they would be prepared for the mission field. But we're going to go and we're going to evaluate them. But see, there's so much joy to be a part of the Christian tradition. There's so much joy to be able to come here on Sunday morning and have friends to talk to. There's so much joy in being able to pray to God and know that he listens to your prayer. There's joy in being a Christian. But see, that's on the South Rim. There's more joy, even above that. And to look at that, I'd like to continue our reading from this morning. We continue on verse 20. They came back with joy. They told Jesus about all the things, and Jesus says this to them. He says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See, that's the view from the North Rim. The view that God has redeemed each and every one of you. That no matter what sin that you have in your life, your name is written in heaven. No matter what bad thing that you've done in your life, your name is written in heaven. And these guys that were following Jesus, 72, after Jesus had died and risen and risen again, and they're out proclaiming the good news, they had some tough times. And what sustained them was to know this simple fact, that their name was written in the book of life in heaven, that Jesus had died to purchase their life so that it might be written in the book of heaven. Now, it may seem strange to you, but folks, that is a deeper joy. That is truly a deeper joy. If you'll remember Martin Luther, you know, perfect guy, you know, trying to follow God's law, trying to do it perfectly, laying down prostrate before God. And then all of a sudden he read Galatians and saw that it wasn't the works that he was doing. It was the work that God had done. That God had written his name in heaven. Martin Luther. And because of that, he didn't have to try to get to heaven on his own. It had already been won for him because Jesus had paid the price on Calvary. It may seem like a simple thing, but the fact is that if you can have confidence and assurance of knowing that God has wiped out your sin, when you get to the end of your life, you will experience not just simple joy, but deep, deep joy. There's a guy named Haddon Robinson who's a pastor. I took a class where we used his textbook, and I saw him speak once. And they said, "What was the most profound thing that you've learned in all of your years of preaching?" He said, "Is this, the total depravity of mankind. Everyone sins. And the total grace of Jesus Christ to reclaim that life." There was an old preacher, I got an email this week about an old preacher who was asked to speak, and he came up to the podium and he put his hands on the podium and he looked at the congregation. He said these simple words: "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong." Folks, my prayer for you today is that when you get to the end of your life, that you understand unequivocally and without any doubt that your name is written in the heavens. And because your name is written in the heavens, you will have peace and comfort and not only joy that you've experienced being on the south rim of the Grand Canyon, but that joy on the north rim to know that Jesus Christ has bought and purchased your life. Now, it just so happens that in doing some research on this sermon, I found out, did you know that they've constructed something at the Grand Canyon that's called the Skywalk? And I was thinking, are there any Lukes in our congregation? Because if they went there, there'd be a Luke Skywalk. Never mind. But they've got this thing called the Skywalk, and you can actually, oh, don't boo, it wasn't that bad. They're moaning. Okay, well, maybe it was that bad. So anyway, you can go out, and for $30, you can go out onto the Skywalk. I've got some pictures of it. Maybe we can show those pictures this morning. There's an artist's conception of what it looks like, and she'll continue to show some pictures to this. I'll just tell you some statistics about this. It's the Halapai Indian Reservation, $30. Now you're saying, will it hold me? Well, the engineers say that it will hold 71 fully loaded 747s. I think it'll hold you. The glass is 4 inches thick. It'll take wind loads in all 8 directions up to 100 miles an hour, and it'll withstand an 8.0 magnitude earthquake. So yes, it'll hold you. And all of you, this is our next field trip. I expect you all to go. But you know, it takes a lot of faith to step out into something like that. It takes a lot of faith to be able to say, I'm going to go out to something like that and walk and actually peer down. But you know what? Jesus Christ has bought and purchased your life. And life a lot is like that. Life a lot is like going out in faith and stepping and looking out into the world. But you know that you've got that solid foundation of Jesus Christ who fills you with joy. Not only joy now, but joy at the end of your life, knowing that he has bought and purchased you and written your name in the book of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.